Let's go to page 59. Amen. We're going to endeavor to finish this chapter today concerning the light of life. And we've come to the place of the process that we talked about Tuesday at length. And Tuesday we talked about the fact of the importance of the cross. We went to John 8 and John 3 that the Lord told those in John 8 as well as Nicodemus in John 3 that apart from the cross that we could not see and know the Lord. And so progressive revelation, we have to have the cross to be active in our lives because we learn that the cross removes those hindrances. And you know, if we have a desire to have a relationship with someone in the proper perspective and there's hindrances that and impede us from getting to them, then those things have to be removed. Well, we all acknowledge and recognize this morning there's things in our lives that we see from time to time and they're hindrances, they're distractions to our growth in our personal relationship to the Lord. And at the cross is that we embrace that sets those things aside that we can really come to the Lord and know Him personally, in relationship, in intimacy. And that's what Christianity is all about. And the cross sets those things aside. Now, we talked about briefly that the most important thing in Christianity, the thing that Christ came to do as God, as man, was that the relationship or the union between God and man had been broken. And Christ came that the veil would be rent, that we could go into the very presence of God, that we could experience the presence of God. More than mere singing the songs, more than mere doctrine, more than mere phraseologies, but you and I can have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and now the power of the Holy Spirit that He has sent back to live within us. So the cross came, or Christ came, I should say, to bring back that union between God and man. But Christ had to go to the cross to clear away what had happened in the fall, what had happened when man had failed and sin had come into the world. Jesus had to go to the cross to clear that away. Now, what had happened at the fall? Just real quickly, when man fell in the garden, and thereafter, when the independence of man rose up, some things really happened in the heart of men that Jesus Christ had to come and set aside. Now, we know in the garden that man believed a lie. He was told that he could go his own way, that he didn't have to act upon what God had said, that he could do what he desired and he would be as God. In actuality, what man was told was that he could act independently of what God had said. And we know that was a lie. Well, man believed that. Adam and Eve believed that. And what they did in the garden was they acted independently from God's word. And it was a lie. And they didn't realize that Jeremiah would say years later that the heart of man is wicked above all things. And who can know it? And the heart of man, when it acts independent of God, is obviously very wicked. So mankind believed a lie, and from that day to the dying of the cross, that lie was ever evident in the people's lives. There was no escaping it except through the law, that the lie that man had believed and embraced. Out of that, we know that Cain, years later, killed Abel. Well, the word Cain means possessiveness. And all that was that man had believed the lie that they could act independent of God, and Cain rose up being possessive, that enmity that's between the spirit and the flesh that we know about today, that rises up against the Spirit of God. Cain rose up and asserted that independence. He acted independent on his own. He said, I have the right if I desire. He was very possessive. He rose up independently of God, and he murdered his brother Abel. Now, we may not see that within its concepts within the house of God or outside the house of many people murdering each other. But there's in the hearts of men that enmity, that possessiveness, that acting independent of God that makes them rise up, do things, and say things independently from God. And it's because of self asserting itself. And that's what Cain did. Cain rose up and asserted that independent self from God. Well, all that does, be it enmity, be it the lie, be it the sins we hear about, all that does is it brings death to the life of that person. And so that's what happened in the garden. That's what happened to man. They failed. They believed a lie. They rose up independently. There was enmity between them and God. They acted independent on their own, in their own thinking. And death came. Death came. But that death is more than what we consider death. That death is not just an object being inanimate where it no longer moves and no longer breathes. That's not what God is talking about in death. Death in the Word of God is speaking about the separation from true life. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They died. There was a separation from the communion. There was a separation from their union with God. And that's what all that was about. That's what Satan was endeavoring to do. Bring that separation between man and God where there no longer be that union, that obvious relationship of communion and intimacy and that personal one-on-one relationship between God and man. So Satan had very cunningly came. Man believed a lie. They acted independent from God. That independence rose up in Cain, killed his brother. He was very possessive. And we see that very active today in people's lives. Possessive. They have to be independent. They have to be right. They have to be up front. They have to assert self. That's all that is. And there's death. When that takes place, there's death. The union with God is broken. So Jesus Christ came. Jesus had to come. And Jesus came, once again, as we said, to set aside those things that causes the hindrance between man and God. And he set that aside in the cross. And so when Jesus Christ came to the cross, as we learned Tuesday, that's the only way we can progressively get to know him or our union with God is through the cross. Jesus came and took upon himself the lie, the enmity, and that's why he had to what? Die on the cross. He took upon himself the lie, man rising up independent, the enmity, and the death. He took that upon himself, went to the cross and died, and set all that aside that you and I can have perfect union with God again. That's what Christ did for you. Now go to 2 Corinthians 5. Let me show that real quick. I just want to give that to you real briefly this morning. There's so much more to be said about that. But just to show you the importance of the cross, once again, the importance of the cross not only in the crises, but in the process. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And remember I'm saying that the cross has set aside those hindrances. And it's important not only in the crises, but in the process that we're talking about Tuesday and today. The process, the daily process. And you can see the importance of the cross. Now Jesus came to set aside those things. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. His love constraineth us. Because we thus, then he tells us why, because, you can circle that word, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And so what does Paul here relate to when he talks about that the love constrains us? He talks about the dying on the cross of Christ. So he's saying here that apart from the cross, we'd know anything about that love that would constrain us. So Jesus going to the cross brought about that love that constrains us. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, if you'll see that, you see the communion again. How do we live? We live unto him. Well, see, the sin broke the union. The sin broke the communion. The lie, the enmity, and the death broke the communion with God. But now Paul is saying that Jesus has come and he's died for all. And then he says in verse 15, why? That they what? Which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. And what I just tell you, that man with the broken relationship did what? Lived unto themselves. They acted independently from God. They asserted that independence when Cain killed Abel. They died. The separation came between man and God. But now Paul is saying that Jesus has come and died on the cross. That they which live, no longer do you have to live unto your independence, your self-assertion. You don't have to live that way, but now unto him which died for them and rose again. So he's saying the union has been brought back through the cross. Now you don't have to live unto yourself, but the cross has set that aside. Now you can live unto him. You get that? The cross set all that aside. You don't have to live unto the independence, the self-assertion. You can let the cross set that aside. And you can live unto the Lord. The union has come back. Look at verse 19. To know that God was in Christ, doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. That's what the cross meant. It was God in Christ coming to reconcile man back where? To himself. Well, what's he saying there? He's talking about the union. He's talking about the relationship. He's talking about that communion that we can have with God, that personal relationship. He's saying that Christ has set aside the hindrances. He set aside the sin that we can have personal relationship with him. Turn to Romans 8:1. Turn back to Romans 8:1. Are you seeing the importance of the cross now? This is the cross that has set these things aside, that we can have relationship with him. Romans 8:1. You know the scripture very well. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying, the condemnation of the sin has been set aside if we're in the Lord. Why? Because he's gone to the cross and set these things aside that we can live unto him. There's no condemnation. The condemnation of the lie, the enmity, all those things were put aside in the cross that we can now live unto the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about the crises of how we come to that place that we accept that cross, and now we're talking about the process. of how that cross has got to be a part working out in our daily lives. It's not just something that's on a hill or on a wall or we read about. It's got to be something that's active in our lives. And all I've said this morning, this first few minutes, was try to encourage you that the daily process of applying the cross is what continually keeps those hindrances aside. It's what continually keeps that self from being independent. It's what repeatedly keeps that self from asserting itself, because that's what hinders your relationship with the Lord. And as we embrace the cross in our daily lives, the lie that was believed, the enmity that Cain rose up in possessiveness, wanting his way, his thing, that is set aside in the cross as we embrace it daily. For there's things in your life that is at enmity with the Spirit of God. Amen? There's a battle in your flesh. There's a battle in your spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. And we are no match, but we can take it to the cross, and that natural man is set aside that we can have union with Christ. And if we're in Him, there is no condemnation, none. I don't have to receive the condemnation of the enemy if I'm in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, that is one of the major importances of why we should pick up our cross and follow Him daily. Because it repeatedly, as the natural man desires to want to rise up and discourage or to impede our progress or the self-life, all these things we talk about. Thank God for the cross that He gives us. Thank God for the trials sometimes that He brings in our lives, that humbles our hearts, that brings us right back to realization of what we were and what He's trying to make us. It's the cross. Okay, so let's start reading. Do you get that? Do you see the union that was broken between the lie and the entity? The union that was broken and what's set aside? The cross. And what was God's heart? What was God's heart saying? God's heart was saying, I want to be with you. I want relationship with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to have communion with you. But I can't. There's something that blocks us. It's that sin. It's that lie. It's that hindrance. But I'm going to send my Son from heaven. I so love you that I'll send my Son. He'll come and die on the cross and set it aside that we can have relationship. The veil will be rent. You can enter my throne of grace boldly. I'm asking you to boldly come into my throne of grace in time of need, that we can commune in fellowship, and not only in time of need, but just in fellowship with Him, that you ought to love Him and to know Him and respond to His heart. That's what this is all about, saints. All this is about is God so loving you that He wants to commune with you. That's what this is all about. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He wanted to get the sin out of the way, because He loves you so much He wants to commune with us. He wants to fellowship with us. It's not about God sitting in the sky and saying, I'm God, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, because I said you can't do that, and you can't do that. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is God saying, I want the fellowship with you, but I can't because there's hindrances. There's sin. There's self-asserting itself. There's independence, and I can't fellowship with that. So I'm going to send my Son. He's going to go to a cross, and in that cross, He's going to set all that aside, that if you get in Him, you can have relationship. Or we can choose to come to church, or we can choose to quit all our bad things, and we can choose to sit at home and read our Bible a little bit and never know Him, know about Him, sing about Him, but never know Him like most of the church world does. Or we can choose to be among the remnant that rises up and say, I want to know Him. Paul said that I may know Him in a deeper, more intimate, progressive way. We can choose. The choice is ours, but the cross is there for us to pick up daily, and that's the process. And if we choose to embrace the process, God has given us the provisions to put these things aside. So, with that in mind, let's start back under the process. I just read the verse Tuesday, and then we went to John 8 and John 3. Then there's going to be a process. The Lord Jesus said, if any man, and notice we made a big issue out of this, if any man would do what? Come after me. Not just go to church and all those things, but you've got to be coming after Christ. Apprehending Christ as He apprehends you. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And in so saying, he was not wrong in principle. That the cross is something taking up or entered into once for all is true. That was a crisis. As to the crisis in which we say, Lord, I accept once for all what the cross means. But we're going to find that after the crisis, the all-inclusive crisis, that day by day the cross has to be adhered to. And the cross is working out in those afflictions and sufferings which the Lord is allowing to come to His, or to come upon His people. So the afflictions, the things that the Lord allows, the sufferings, it is nothing more than the cross working these things out in our lives. Amen. Removing them, separating them from us, and that we can have relationship with the Lord. He took care of all that. He has put you in a, and here's how he does it sometimes. He has put you in a difficult situation in his sovereignty. And once again, I'm not speaking about that he brings sin in your life. I'm not talking about that, okay? But he has put you in a difficult situation in his sovereignty, a difficult home, business, physical situation, be it sickness, a difficult situation with some relation. And those things happen in our lives. Financial problems come, et cetera, et cetera. And physical problems come, sickness in our lives. There's a difficult problem in the home sometimes, okay? Beloved, that is the outworking of the cross in your experience. In order to make a way for the Lord Jesus to have a larger place, it is going to make a way for His patience, the endurance of Christ, for the love of Christ. It is going to make a way for Him, and you have got to, and you have not to go to your knees every morning and say, "Oh Lord, get me out of this home, get me out of this business, get me out of this difficulty." You are to say, "Lord, if this is the cross in its expression for me today, I take it up today." Facing the situation like that, you will find there is strength, there is victory, the cooperation of the Lord, and there is fruit and not barrenness. Now you ought to just eat those words, because that is Christianity. He allows things to come in our lives. And we in America so are prone to get on, don't even get on our knees. We just go run to the nearest place to get this thing off of me. Be it the government or whatever, we're going to find a way out, because we ain't going to live with this thing in our life. So we run, and the very thing that God had allowed to do a work in our lives, we've taken out. And it was the very thing that God had brought into our lives, that if we'd have gone on our knees and prayed and said, "God, I trust you, humble me." He said He'll bring patience. It'll be humility brought in your life. But out of that, you learn patience. You learn the love of God. You're humbled. You see God's cooperation as He walks you through this thing. You learn the heart of the Lord. You learn the heart of God. It's not getting on the phone and complaining about this, that, or the other, or griping about this. It's going to your knees with God and say, "Lord, I've been serving you. I've been walking with you. You've allowed this thing to come into my life. This must be a part of the outworking of the cross. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to try to get rid of it. I'm not going to change jobs, just an example. I'm not going to change businesses. I'm going to stick through this until you do a work in that man that I'm working for." Me. Oh boy, I'm going to hang on so that guy can get saved. And maybe he will, and thank God for that. But that's not the real outworking of the cross. It's for you. He's doing something in you. And He'll use that relationship. He'll use that business. He'll use that tough place to do a work in our lives. But we are so prone to, you know, that self asserts itself and say, "Well, I must have to be here because somebody else needs to see the Lord in me." Amen. And sometimes that's right. But more times than not, it's something He's working out in our lives. Amen. That's a part of the cross. Thank God. Now, let's say this. Suppose the Lord said, "Well, you know, I see all that mess in your life. So be it. Ethan, Rylan, I see you got problems, Rylan. I see, Mr. Evan, you got some problems. So, hey, you just have to do the best you can. You know, I'm just going to let you go your merry way. And, you know, if you work it out, fine. If you don't, fine. If me and you know each other and me and you have a relationship, well, you know, if we don't have it with you, Mr. Evan, I'll find somebody else, whatever." Oh, He don't do that. God so loves us that He allows sovereignly to put Mr. Evan in situations. He said, "Now, you know, I see some things, and I'm going to bring you this situation, and I'm going to use this situation to work these things out in your life. Rylan, don't run. Don't run from the situation. Don't run from the problem. Embrace it with me. Because in the process, I'm going to work some things out in your life. And on the other side of that will not be barrenness. It'll be fruit." And what will be the fruit? That he has a greater relationship with Christ. That he knows the Lord. That's what Christianity is. That he knows the Lord in a better way, in a greater way. Praise God. So He's made a way for us. He's made a way, the cross. If we're coming after the Lord, if we're coming after Him, it is in that sense that the Lord was right in principle in making the cross a daily experience. And He was right. That's why the Lord said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Jesus made it a daily, not some preacher. Jesus Christ made the cross a daily experience, daily, that we pick it up, because He knows that's what keeps these things set aside. So He was right. "Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now this is the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ said that whoever does not bear his own cross. Now, when is He talking about bearing it? Well, He's already told us, daily. He's already told us, pick it up daily and follow me. So now Jesus is saying, "Whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now that's strong language. Now if I was to get up here this morning and storm that out, I'd be considered hard. But that was Christ that said that. Christ will look at each one of us and say, if you're not taking up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. That's strong language. But see, God knows what it cost him to send his son to die on that cross. So God is not going to allow his only begotten son to suffer on the cross and then become nonchalant about that cross and indifferent and say, well, you know, it's kind of a tough thing, Christ. I know you had to die, but I'm not going to expect them to pick up their cross daily. I mean, you know, it was just tough on you and we'll just kind of put it to the side. He's not going to do that because the whole plan was worked out. And he knew if he let his son die, he would afford man that tool to come and take up that when Ephraim had a problem in his daily life, oh, hallelujah. Boy, there's a cross, praise God, that'll set this thing aside. That's good news. If me and Ephraim want to get to the Lord. Now, if Ephraim and I just want to go to church and want to, you know, do some things, that's not really interest us. We just want to sing in the choir or preach some or go out and pass out a few tracts. That's not going to interest us because Thursday, after we pass out tracts, Wednesday, our flesh wants to be fed and we want to feed our flesh. So we don't know cross because the cross says I can't feed it that way and I don't want that. I'll pass out the tracts. I'll sing in the choir, but I don't want that, okay? But God says, if you want to know me, if you want to really know me, if you want to love me, if you want to spend time with me, if you want real Christianity, I've given you the tool daily to pick up. But if you don't do that, you can't be my disciple. And what is a disciple? He tells us it's one of my taught ones. Get those words. A disciple is one of my taught ones. One learning me. Now what we learn in the school of Christ and what the Bible tells us, we're no longer learning about Christ. We are learning Christ. Amen. Not the subjective, but the objective, or vice versa. We're learning the person of Christ, not just learning about him. I don't come to church to learn about him. I want to learn the person. And that's what he's saying. If you don't take up the cross, and see, this wraps the whole thing up. It's what John 8 says. It's what John 3 says, that apart from the cross, you can't know him. And that's what he says here. If you don't pick it up daily, you'll not be my disciple, one of my taught ones, one learning me. And so what this does, it tells you what real teaching is. Real teaching is learning Christ. It's learning Jesus. Not about him, not quoting scriptures, and obviously nothing wrong with that. It's good, but you're not learning all that. You're learning the person of Christ. And the more you know him, the more you want to know him. The hunger increases because you can never figure out how this man loved me enough to die for me. And he knew me, and he still loves me, and he's drawn me to himself. He's got to see some things in my life that's not like him, but he's drawn me. I want to love that man. That's what Christianity is. And so as you take up your cross daily, he said, you become one of those disciples. You can't be a disciple if you don't, but if you do, let's reverse it. If I am taking up my cross, then I become one of his disciples. I become one of those taught ones. And one of his taught ones is learning about him, learning the person of Christ. That's good news. That's what the cross is all about. Okay? So that the taking up of this difficulty, whatever it may be in your life, day by day, and not running from it, not trying to get out of it, not pointing the finger at somebody, well, it's their fault, they shouldn't have done this, that. No. Have you ever thought once and for all that God, as we said Sunday night, is the creator of the ends of the universe? He is bigger than you saying the devil this, my neighbor here, and that. Maybe God has allowed this thing to happen because he saw something in your heart that was going to hinder your relationship, and he so loved you and wanted to spend time with you that he was willing to allow this thing to come into your life to remove this thing. And instead of we point the finger here and complain over there and run off at the mouth over there, and God said, when are you ever going to learn that I love you? And I let this thing come into your life to work some things out that I see. Because I see next week, next month, you know, when I want to be with you, you're not going to be there. Oh, you'll be in church, but you won't be with me because you're going to have these hindrances. And so I brought this thing now to get rid of that stuff so me and you can have some time together. That's what it's all about. That's just that simple. It's nothing complicated. It's just that simple. And so he brings these difficulties, and here we are doing this, running off, whatever, to get rid of it. When it's God saying, when are we going to learn? Oh, ye of little faith, when are you going to learn? It's me. I love you. I sent my son. I'm sending this difficulty in your life. Okay? So about the taking up of this difficulty, whatever it may be, day by day, is the very way in which I am learning Christ. That's the way I'm learning him. And it is a process of light, the light of life, coming to know, coming to see, coming into fullness. You and I can never see and know apart from the cross. The cross has to clear the ground of this natural life. And it does, thank God. I can work my poor fingers to the bone trying to do it. I never can do it. And we do a lot of things to keep embracing the cross, because the cross brings death to it. Amen. We can do a lot of things in the church and learn to coexist with it. You say amen. We can do a lot of things and coexist with that self-assertion, that independence, and coexist with it. So we know once we go to that cross, there's no coexistence. It's got to die. It's got to fall into the ground. But if we see the whole perspective, we'll be excited, because by it dying, it clears the way of the natural man out of the way, that I can come to God and know Him. Praise God. The Lord knows what we would do. The Lord knows what we would do if He lifted away the cross from us every day. I wonder what we would do. Well, we know what we do when we don't embrace it. I wonder what would happen if it wasn't even there to embrace. You ever thought about it? Have you seen at times when you didn't embrace the cross? Can you go back, some of you, to days and weeks and times at things in your life? And I use attitudes, whatever, selfishness, jealousies, slothfulness, laziness. When you didn't embrace the cross, what happened? How much time you wasted? Well, suppose it wasn't even there to embrace. Suppose you didn't even have it to run to. That little bit of jealousy that tries to rise up every so often and hinder your progress, I wonder if there was no cross, wonder how big it would be today. That slothfulness or laziness, and once again, I'm just throwing out examples that's there that for some reason you just never really, you know, really take it to the Lord, but every so often you run and He helps you a little bit, helps your strength. You're not going in His strength yet, like we talked a couple of weeks ago. He's helping you a little bit, but it's still your strength. You're still out front, but it's still there. Can you imagine how big it would be if there was no cross to embrace? People have problems with their tongues and they're talking and gossip and independence and you know, saying it's the Lord, but they're really just exerting their own selfish flesh. Can you imagine if there was no cross to embrace, how big it would be? The Bible says it would be like wheels of fire, of hell turning. That's how wicked it is. Oh, you look at it like that. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Because me and you, have natural selfish life in us apart from the cross that would be devastating, that will overwhelm us. Amen. But thank God for the cross. That's victory. Amen. There's victory in the cross. Hallelujah. And He never mentioned the cross. Well, He didn't mention what? Resurrection life. So if you go to the cross and you fall into the ground and die, that means you're going to rise up and live in Christ. His life will come forth. That's good news. That ought to encourage us. Apart from the cross, what can we do? Now, it may not be just the later New Testament phraseology or way of putting it to speak of our daily cross, bearing my cross daily. The principle may be more truly be that it is the cross which is given to Him and becomes mine daily. That may be true, but it just works out this way. Listen now, if the Lord lifted that which is the expression of the cross for us day by day and took it off our shoulders, it would not be for our good. It would at once clear the way for the uprising of the natural life. Can you say amen? You can see when people begin to get a bit of relief from trial, how they throw their weight about. They get on stilts. They're looking down on you. You're wrong. They are right. Pride, self-sufficiency, all comes up. Boy, you've seen people on stilts. They think they got something on somebody else, and they try to tell them, and here they are on their stilts, not realizing the real problems in their own life, their own home. I've seen that so many times. Situations arise, et cetera, and people get that point in that thing, and pride rises. We're doing good. I can't imagine how y'all can't handle your problems and not know, realizing that the very problem is right there instead of who they're pointing the finger at. And that's that independence and that self asserting itself. And self loose. Amen? And that's what he's saying. If Christ was to remove the cross, that's how everyone would act. But we can choose to embrace the cross. We can choose to pick up that cross daily, be one of those taught ones, learning the person of Christ. And as you learn the person of Christ, we all learn that this is the way I've been doing it, but I'm learning Christ, and this is the way He does it. I choose to do it His way. Amen? That's what learning Christ is. Because we sit here today, we're not fully mature. We're not fully grown in the Lord. There's things in our lives that's not like Christ. And so wherever you're at is all relative where the next one is at, and we should be growing. And so as you grow, Tom sees, oh, I'm learning Christ. Oh, that's the way. Oh, boy, He's been patient with me the last 6 months. I've been doing it this way, and He does it this way. I'm learning. Thank God. The cross has cleared the way of the natural man that I can now do it the way the Lord would do it. And it don't break that union, that communion with God. I can have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord. All right, the pride, the self-sufficiency, all comes up. Oh, it just rises. You can hear it in the voice. It just rises up. Huh. Huh. You know, huh. I can't believe they, huh. On their stilts. Huh. I can't believe they, yeah, they got their problem. And their whole countenance, the way they handle themselves, it just the way they walk. I know I'm getting down there, but it's all over because that's who we are. Cock our heads with that little stilt attitude and pride and say things and self. And without the cross, we all act that way at all times. But the cross embrace makes us taught ones learning Christ, and we say, I'd rather do it His way than my way. Amen. Thank God for the outworking of the cross in our lives. I see how so far I need to go, how much further and I need to go in the Lord. I'm thankful for where I've come from. I'm thankful for what I've learned. But the more I can see Him, the more I realize, oh man, I need so much of Him. I need to be more like Him in so many areas. But I thank God I am not condemned this morning. I'm in Christ. There is no condemnation. The cross is clearing these things out, praise God, as I go to Christ. So there's no condemnation. There's joy in my heart because I know that as I approach these things, that He'll put a desire to do like Christ instead of do like me. And I'm thankful for that. And once again, I'm not talking about that we walk around, you know, coexisting with sin and think that we can, you know, just, I'm not talking about doing our thing. I'm talking about the outworking of the Holy Spirit, of His nature and His character in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Well then, what about Paul? I look up to Paul as a giant, spiritually, a spiritual giant. Beside that man, we're puppets spiritually. Yet Paul, spiritual giant that he was, humbly confessed that the Lord sent him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Now, he was a spiritual giant, but he was willing to admit that God sent this messenger. Amen. It wasn't the devil sliding one in. It was God in total control. This is one of those afflictions, one of those trials, one of those tough places. All right. Well, Paul was still a man, so what did Paul do? Okay, God has sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him a stake through his flesh, lest he should be exalted above measure. All it was for was to keep Paul's feet on the ground. Amen? Yes, spiritual giants can exalt themselves if the Lord does not see to it and take precautions. So if men like Paul can be honest with you and tell you that they themselves have the capability of exalting themselves apart from God sending precautions, then isn't it possible that you and I, that are not spiritual giants, maybe some of you are, but that are not spiritual giants, and I don't say it to be facetious, but that are not spiritual giants, isn't it possible that we might could rise up and exalt self? If Paul said he would, if God didn't take precautions that he would have rose up, isn't it possible that we might? Well, you better know it is, but Paul said that the Lord sent and took precautions. In other words, he sent the messenger Satan as a stake in his side to buffet him to keep him humble. And in order to keep the way of the great revelation, here it is now, you got to see this, this is the whole thing wrapped up. In order to keep the way of that great revelation open and clear, that it might grow and grow, the Lord said, Paul, I must keep you down very low, very much under limitation. It is the only way. Immediately you begin to get up, Paul, you're going to limit the light and spoil the revelation. Every time you feel a little good about yourself, that you realize you can say something about somebody else, just an example, I'm telling you what's happening in your life. You're spoiling the revelation. The revelation of Christ has just ceased. You will not get any fresh revelation. You may preach louder, sing louder, I don't care, it don't matter. The Bible says the revelation ceases. When that self rises up, when it exerts itself, the revelation ceases. It stops because the ground's got to be cleared out. And Paul said, Jesus said to Paul, Paul, if I let you rise up and exalt yourself, the revelation's going to stop. And Paul, I'm enjoying our fellowship. I'm enjoying our fellowship. So I'm going to send this thorn. It's going to keep you humble. At least you exalt yourself above measure. And with that thorn, the pride will not rise up and you and I can have the relationship we have need of. It spoils the relationship. It spoils the revelation. It may make you feel good about yourself that you got something on somebody or you who cares? Who cares that I feel good about myself? What gains that got me? There's how many million people in the world and one or two know it. I mean, who cares? Who cares that you got something on somebody? Good gracious saints, who cares? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Well, there's the principle, the light of life. It is His life, and so again the apostle says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. Here's that day of the cross. Here it is now. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Always, daily, taking up our cross, that it's not our life that's coming forth, but it's the life of Christ. That is Christianity. We want His life to be seen in and through us, not our life. So God's made a way, the cross. And He says, always, y'all circle that word, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. That cross, the daily cross, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. His life is what we need. Amen. His life is what we need. And with the life comes the light. It is light by life. There is no other real divine light, only that which comes out of His life within us. And it is His death wrought in us that clears the way for His life. That's where it comes. It's His death that clears the way for His life. Praise God, saints. God's made a way. He came, He sent His Son to let Him die on the cross for our sins, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then He comes in this process to do a work in our hearts and our lives. So He brings the cross to our daily lives. If we always bear about that dying of the Lord, that cross, then He's clearing the ground. That it's no longer me that's seen, but it's Christ that starts to live in and through me in a greater way, in a greater manifestation. That should be our heart's cry. When we pray for the lost, when we pray for our relatives that are lost, they need to see the Lord. Well, God has chosen for the Lord to be seen in and through us. Amen? And so that's the greatest witness. That's the greatest testimony. That Christ's life is seen in and through us. So if I have a heart's desire for that to happen, I realize I can't do it on my own. I'm helpless. So God says, if you're coming after me, take up your cross and follow me. Deny self. Always bearing about in your body the dying of the Lord, that His life and not yours may be seen. So He makes a way for us that the life of Christ can be seen in and through us. That's good news, saints. It's good news. In the school of Christ, if we're going to have this light of life, that's encouraging to us. Once again, if we choose to be among those, and I choose we, that go to church, that has a good social life and does some good things, but yet not interested in the intricate details of self being cleared away. We still got some fleshly things and fleshly habits that we like, that we've learned to coexist with, that we want to feed. Doesn't matter what it is. I'll talk to me. If I have got things in my life, if I've got habits or besetting sins, things that I'm coexisting with, and I don't mean the quote-unquote big things. It could be little things in my life, the little foxes that I just like to feed. It could be appetite. It could be the eyes. It could be the ears. It could be the tongue. It could be many things. If I just like this, and I know that it's the flesh, I know I should deal with it, but if I like it, it could be slothfulness. You know, I just like being slothful and indifferent. I don't want to be one of those that's moving forward in God. I just, you know, I kind of like to kind of be laid back. And the Lord has dealt with you about that. Listen to me. If you've chosen to coexist with it, still be a Christian, quote unquote, come to church, sing, preach, whatever we do, and all these things. If you've chosen to just kind of coexist because you like to feed the flesh, let's say you're one that likes to kind of rise up and assert your opinions and what you say and kind of, you know, that outward, you know, you've seen it kind of cocky attitude. Amen. You're one of those religious. If you're like that and you've chose to live with it and coexist, you are not appreciative of the cross. You will not get excited when we talk about the cross, because the cross is to clear the way of that stuff. What for? So you get bigger houses, cars, and a better reputation. One thing. So you can know Him better. Love Him. Commune. Fellowship. That's all. Nothing else. Not that somebody recognizes you. Not a bigger platform. It's all about that you love Him more and more. That you have relationship. So if you're here today, or anyone listens to this tape, or me, you, if there's things in our life that we're refusing because we just have convinced ourselves, the enemy may have deceived us, religion may have deceived you that you're fine and you're coexisting with it and you're not really, then the cross is not going to excite you, because it's got to be taken up daily. And a daily cross is not going to let these besetting sins and these habits be stored up in our closets at home. Amen. It is going to your closet door and open the door and clean house. Amen. And boy, I ought to be thankful if I want the mess out of my house. But if I want to coexist with it, enjoy it, you know, I don't do it, but once every 2 weeks, every couple of days, I just feed my flesh here and look at this there, and, you know, I think it's fine and whatever. I still go to church, pay my tithe. I'm just trying to tell you that if that's the way you live in your life, this is not really exciting to you. Okay? It's not going to really encourage, because you know it's something you got to take up daily. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I don't just buffet and beat in the air when I deal with my flesh. He said, I'm not just one that's beating in the air and trying to hit it. He said, I don't just hope I hit it. I bring it under discipline because I want to know it. And in America, in the church today, that's one of the greatest problems. People have learned to learn to coexist and go to church and still be excited about themselves and church and all this stuff and live a double standard. It may not be drugs or alcohol, but they pretty much learn to coexist with things in their lives, in their homes, and in their personal lives, and they never deal with it. But the revelation is dying. The revealing of Christ, the knowing Him, the revealing of the Holy Spirit of the person of Christ in a greater, in a deeper way, as Paul said, I may progressively in resurrection power, know Him more deeply and more intimately. Amen. And that's what Paul was saying. Always bearing about, because there's a greater progressive revelation of the person of Christ. I personally will give you 2 cents worth of nothing for all church has to offer. Nothing. Zero. If I didn't think I could get to know the person of Christ better, you can have it all. The preaching, the singing, all your religiosity, you could have it all and carry home. I could care less. But the church is the body that gets to know the head progressively more and more. That's what excites me. I want to know the person of Christ. And that's what this is all about. That's what church should be all about. That's what your home life, your daily walk. You say, that's like a stick in the mud. How can we enjoy life? Well, what is life? Life is union with God. Amen. It's knowing Him. It's realizing why you're sent here. It's why you're here. And there's things He allows you to enjoy on the peripherals. There's things He allows you to enjoy that He's placed here. That's exciting. Praise God that you can enjoy it. Nothing wrong with it. But the heartbeat is union with God. And that's the cross. That's what the cross is for. And that's the way we're going to get the light of life. It clears it out. Praise God. If I embrace it daily. Amen. That's encouraging to me. That's exciting. That's Christianity. That's what I want for you. And as I stand here and teach, I'm excited that in some small way, and I surely don't have a great revelation of it like others have, I'm sure, but I can share what little I do know. I can share my heart. I can pray and trust that what you're hearing is a seed sown in your heart. Holy Ghost will give the increase, and it'll grow and bear fruit and bring glory to God. That weeks and months and years down the road, some of you, and I pray all of you, will be bearing the fruit that really brings Him glory. Amen. That's what it's all about. Praise God. The light of life. Next week, an open heaven, number 6. I think this was number 41 this morning, and we got about 3 more chapters to go. I love this book, amen. I love this little book. It is power-packed, amen. I love this little book right here. And I just encourage you to read chapter 6 again between now and next week and pray about chapter 5, this cross. I challenge you, and I want to pray over you just for a few minutes. It's 10:45. We have a few minutes to pray. I challenge you to pray about this cross. I challenge each one of you to go to your prayer closet. You don't have to believe me. I challenge you. I challenge Melissa, nothing personal, Melissa, but I challenge her about the cross. I said, you fast and pray and go to the Word. Amen? Because the Holy Ghost is a teacher and it teaches us all, okay? I challenge you to go to your prayer closet. Lay your Bible out. Say, God, show me my daily. Show me that I'm supposed to pick up my cross today. I challenge you. Amen? I know what He's going to show you, and you do too. I challenge you. Listen, for God's sakes, don't learn to coexist with things in your life. Because you know what happens? The revelation of Him starts to cease. And that's what Christianity is. It's Him revealed to us. That's why when Isaiah went to Him, I'm undone. There He is, revealed. The Lord Himself, high upon His throne, lifted up. The angels, cherubims and seraphims, crying out, holy, hallelujah. Oh boy, He wasn't condemned. He went and got that cold water cleansed and He's ready to go. A revelation of Christ. More and more and more. Amen. That's what Christianity is. I challenge you to pray about that. Challenge you to pray about what Jesus said. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that His life may come forth. That's what Paul said. I challenge you to pray over those things, brood over them, and ask God to make them real in your life. It will totally open up the heaven. And what's the next chapter on? Open heaven. Because it opens the heavens for you. For a revelation of Christ. And that's what we should want to know. Because we're going to spend eternity with this man. Eternity with him. Eternity. That's what we're being prepared for, eternity with Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to see Him. We're going to want to know Him. We're going to be like Him. And we're going to spend eternity with Him. That's the preparation here. And so now's the time to pick up this cross daily and follow the Lord, to set aside these things that we can start to know Him in a greater way. Amen. Let's stand. I want to pray over you this morning. Praise God.